We are continuing our study today in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. If you will open the Bible at the book of Acts, chapter 6, and we're going to be looking now at the second verse. We have been reminding ourselves that we are studying the life of the early Christians because we want to find out how Christians live. And now we've been brought right into a problem in the congregation of the early Christians. And if you were listening to the study, the last study, you will remember we pointed out how this problem developed. It was in the large congregation, some thousands of people gathered together in Jerusalem who were in the Christian congregation. They were young Christians, new Christians, that were just banded together in their fellowship in the Lord. It was their custom in this early church to take care of their own poor, and they did it by sharing their food with them, so that the people who had money brought it in, gave it to the church, and the church would use it to supply food and supplies for the people who had need. So every day the church administered help to the people who were in need. And the problem arose right there in the good that they were doing, right where they were helping the poor. And the problem arose about this, that some of the poor thought they weren't being treated as well as some of the others. And you might smile when you think about it. It could happen any time, any place among the best people. And may I remind you this, there's probably no time that a person is as sensitive and can so easily feel neglected as when you're poor and when you're a stranger. And these people were. And if somebody says to me, well, that's not very Christian, I would just say, well, now, just don't talk up like that. They were human beings, and they had this experience, and they were genuinely sincere people, I'm sure, but they couldn't get over this feeling. And they began to murmur. They began to quietly among each other complain because they felt that there, the people who were from Grecian speaking, that is to say, they were from out of town, they were the strangers in the congregation, they began to feel that when the food was distributed, their needy people didn't get their fair share, that there was favoritism shown. And you know how easily that can disturb a church. And so, of course, that created the problem. Now let us read on and see how this happened, how it developed. Then the 12, that refers to the apostles, and they were the leaders, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It isn't reasonable, it doesn't make sense, that we should leave the word of God, that is, that we should neglect the preaching and the teaching of the word, that we should take time away from our ministering the word of God to the hearts of the people. You see, that takes time. If they were now going to have to pay attention to how the food was distributed, if you were going to call the apostles in and make them responsible for the distribution of the food to make sure that it would be done fairly, the apostles would be taken away from the work to which they were called. So they laid down this basic principle in the management of this whole thing, that the ministry of the Word of God, the actual preaching and teaching and praying that would go with the sharing of the Word of God, should come first, and it should have priority over practical management. When they laid this principle down, in the third verse, they tell them what to do. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. This is a profoundly important solution of this problem. I'm going to see if I can bring out to you the various things that you and I might think of. And of course, if we were ministers, and especially if we were leaders in the church, it would be even more important. But every one of us can learn something from this. What they said to them was, you pick out seven men. When it says here, look you out seven men of honest report, it means hold an election, that's the way we would do it. Elect seven men that you have confidence in. Honest report would mean men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. full of the Holy Spirit would mean men who are personally conscious of the presence of God in their lives. That is to say, men who have personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. And wisdom, that's a big word, and it's a good word, and what it means is good common sense. Now, these were the kind of men. Men with good reputation, honest report. Men that were spiritually minded. Men who really want to have fellowship with the Lord, and with good common sense. And that kind of men we will appoint over this business. We'll delegate our authority to them. We'll put it in their hands and ask them to take care of this. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Now that was the solution. I don't think anybody active in church work would have any question of the wisdom of this solution. I want to draw your attention to several things here. Can you see that this criticism that developed, this complaint that grew up, could have been thought of as a criticism of the apostles? You see, here was this great big crowd of people, this congregation of 5,000 or more people. Who were the leaders? The 12 apostles. What did this big congregation do? They shared with the poor. They took care of the poor. That required considerable administration. They'd have to have that organized and arranged for. Who was more or less responsible, at least technically responsible? Well, the 12 apostles, the pastors, the men who were in charge, they would be the ones that would be responsible. So there's criticism. There's complaint. There's complaint about the way it's done. Now, can you see where how different this would have been if Peter had taken personal offense? Can you see how different it would have been if we'd had something like this? What's the idea of criticizing us? You think you don't have confidence in us? What do you mean by saying we're not fair? You think we're unfair? Are you going to accuse us of doing wrong? You think we're deceitful about this thing? You think we're not honest? You think we are not thoughtful of everybody? Can you see how that would be? Now, don't you see how different the story would have been? Suppose they'd gotten offended and puffed up with their feeling of personal hurt and injury about this. How vastly different the story would be. And do you notice this? That not only is there no alibi, there's no contradiction. They didn't say it wasn't so. And you know, in the course of years, as I've gone along in my own ministry and in the pastorate and so on, I oftentimes say to myself, I'm not at all sure that it was like those Grecians thought. I'm not even sure there was any neglect. That's not important. Those Grecian-speaking Jews, those people from the outside, those that felt like strangers, they felt that there was discrimination. That was real. Their objection, the feeling they had of being neglected, was a real feeling. Whether there was real neglect or not, I don't know. And I want you to notice, Peter didn't bother to investigate. There isn't here any committee appointed to find out whether the charges are true. Nothing so tedious and nothing so annoying and nothing so irritating as that. No alibi, no defense, no argument. Actually, the grievance of those strange people who felt so strange might have been based on misunderstanding. Maybe they didn't understand it. Maybe those local people really needed the help that they were getting. But it was a real grievance. Now, that's the point. And that's where the disciples picked it up. That's where the apostles picked it up. And then when they did pick it up, I want you to notice this. You look out from among you seven men of good report. Can you see how different it would be if Peter had said something like this? Well, I see that you folks don't have confidence in the way in which we're doing this. And we'll have to arrange for that. Then he had turned around and said, now here, if we were to do it today, we'd say, Jack and Bill and Fred, you take this over and handle it. You think that would have satisfied the congregation? You know what the congregation would have thought? Same old crowd, just appointing his own men. That preacher just appoints his own men in the office, and just the same old crowd. Notice what Peter did. Notice what these disciples did. They said, you choose out seven men you can trust. We want them to be men of good reputation. We want them to be spiritually minded men, men with good common sense. But you choose them, and we'll appoint them. And I want you to notice afterwards this thing worked. And this is the way in which to do it. There was no attempt on the part of the apostles to control how this thing went. What they did say was, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I think we could maybe spend a little time just looking at that for a moment. Do you realize that the actual communicating of the gospel of Christ, that praying, is very important? Now, I don't want to say the last word on the subject of praying here. But let me say to you that praying is much more than just saying prayers. Now, saying prayers has its own place, and if you don't do anything else, at least you do that. But praying is being in a communion with God, thinking about His mind and His will. It is conducting yourself in His presence. It's being conscious of Him. It's having your ear open to His word, your heart sensitive to His call. It's being in relationship with Him where you refer your own problems to His guidance and you wait for Him to help you in making your mind, in making up your decision. You see, I'm talking this way and I won't have time in this last moment to say too much, but parents, this is what you could do. Some mother, you want to know how to get along with your child and lead your child in the ways of the Lord? Pray. Not just saying it, think it. Keep it in your heart and mind. If you're trying to win anybody to the Lord, whatever you do, do it in the presence of the Lord, in prayer and ministry of the word. The things that you will actually say about the gospel can come afterwards, and they can come after you have, in a sense, begun the whole matter by prayer. They gave themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in all our personal witness with other people to be wise and to pray and to speak. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.